And right now we are going to the phone lines where we are joined by Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. And we're pleased to have him joining with us talking about their new issue dealing with science and faith. Michael, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Morning.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back with you.
Because obviously with COVID-19, a lot of emphasis on science. In fact, we keep seeing these commercials. I don't know if you've seen them, Michael, but you know these commercials that come out and say, during this time, the one thing that can save us is science. And they just, you know, kind of pound that over and over again, as though science were something other than just a form of discovery, you know, as though science were a thing and instead of just a method. But kind of the base implication there is we don't need God, we just need science. Showing the misunderstanding, yeah. I think, in our modern culture that science and religion or science and Christian faith are opposed to one another. They are not. And in fact, modern science emerged a Christian understanding of the world. And you guys detail that in your latest issue of Christian History Magazine, Science and Technology.
Yes, indeed, and pointing that out because that's a wonderful introduction to this subject. This issue chronicles the time, we refer to it as medieval time. We think of it as the Dark Ages. In actual fact, people were making discovery upon discovery. Why? Because they firmly believe that we are made in God's image. And therefore, this body that we have, this world that we have, is worth taking very seriously, trying to understand and taking good care of it. And so that's what the Christians were doing in that period of time. And we know from the last issue 101, Christian History 101 on healthcare and hospitals, that there were some devastating viruses, devastating influenzas, plagues called the Black Death or plagues, global occurrences that wiped out millions and millions of people. So we know there's nothing new here, nothing new at all. And most importantly, that the science and all of these things that we learn, we are simply discovering what exists and what was created for us. What a revelation that is. And so, yeah, the Christians have paved the way for science to make our lives better, give us things that, you know, we would like to have. So much of it, of course, we have abused and is unnecessary and we get obsessed with. And so it's really important to take a look back, see how all of this came together, especially now when we have people on the street who would like to destroy it all, like to burn it all down, including the whole idea of history and the history that has gone before, memorializing people and events that have made our present world all possible.
Mm-hmm.
What a terrible tragedy that is. But we Christians are learning every day how important history is. And so, you know, it's a battle. It's a battle. And what is so encouraging that he's given us a role to play, an assurance in our salvation and an assurance, his work, that we can stand up for truth and we can defend our history and also educate people, help to educate them on what a bounty and what a wonderful gift our God has given us.
Well, Michael, what are some of the standout moments in the Christian history when it comes to science?
Well, just this morning I was reading and thinking about these amazing discoveries. In the 13th century, people were discovering or seeing and noticing, of course, how the world turns. And one of the big topics at that time, the most common things going on, warfare. The kings were battling over territory in Europe, principally. The outcome of that eventually was the countries that we now know, Germany, France, Italy. And so they were battling the wars to determine those borders. And so they were asking questions and trying to solve problems regarding warfare, such as, why does an arrow continue to travel in the air but eventually slow down and stop moving? Isn't that an interesting question? Well, it's only interesting if you're trying to, you know, use more efficiently, use a bow and arrow. But what the point is that they were noticing that the universe, the world, was operating on very specific laws. And these laws, if they could only understand these laws, they could produce a better bow and they could produce a better arrow and, of course, get a better victory. Well, one of the places that was giving them a lot of this information, by the way, in 1085, a town called Toledo, the capital of Islamic Spain, was conquered by the Christians. King Alfonso VI actually captured that city. And what came with that city? The library that had been established in Toledo, Spain, the namesake of the city that you're now in.
And we have a really nice library here.
Well, there you go. And guess why? Because the earlier Toledo had one of the most important libraries in the world, which gave them the knowledge of Islam. And Islam was competing with Christendom at that time for actually dominance in the world. The Christians eventually won that war. By the way, that war has continued throughout the centuries. We're battling that war again today. But the point we're making right here is that the Library of Toledo gave them so much information about, well, and also principles of mathematics. As a matter of fact, Europe was not yet using, can you believe this, the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth. They were using a different number system, which limits the ability for mathematicians to do calculations. They converted to that system, the numbers that we use today, including the number zero, or the whole idea of zero. These kinds of concepts revolutionized education, revolutionized science, and gave science and mathematicians the ability to do calculations that they did not have before. Here are a couple of the names that no one knows, but people who made enormous advances. Thomas Bradwardine, he was one of the calculators. The calculators was a group of folks in Oxford, in England, who were beginning to calculate what they had learned in mathematics and making mathematics a fundamental science. And if you're studying science today, you realize that mathematics is the foundation to all of the sciences. Why? Because it gives us the ability to calculate the genius upon which the whole world is established, which is mathematics. You know, 2 and 2 equals 4. It will always equal 4, despite what our social scientists are telling us today, that we are able to eliminate, you know, male and female. We're able to eliminate 1 and 1 equals 2. Are you kidding? This will pass, by the way. To assure your listeners that these crazy ideas that we are dealing with in the street these days by people who want to burn it all down, this will pass. We'll come back to reality. Anyway, Thomas Bradwardine was talking about the importance of mathematics, and he established that all of the sciences were being studied in what became universities in Europe. This idea of people getting together and studying things and doing calculations and writing books and passing on knowledge to the new generations, it was all based on mathematics. And so, folks, if you're still in school, don't forget your mathematics. It will serve you extremely well.
And you highlight a number of different Christians who made contributions to Christianity, and many, I mean, there's some names that we kind of know well, but many that we may not have heard, like one, I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to say this correctly, Robert Grossetist, but he wrote a commentary on Genesis, but in his commentary,
that's right,
he talked about the tides, about motion, about light. I mean, it wasn't just, a theological commentary, but he brought in scientific evidence for it.
Yes, and what is so exciting is that these people were so thoroughly biblical in their thinking. The Bible was their guide. They believed in the Bible. They believed in the God of the Bible, and they believed that we had been created in God's image. What is the meaning of that? Well, the meaning of that is, of course, that there is an order to the universe, that the universe is not chaos, it is not random, it is not by chance, but it has been designed by the great designer. Therefore, what they were doing was that they were discovering the order of things. And guess what? They were right. They were correct. And science basically is nothing more than a method of inquiry and the collection of evidence. Now, scientists have gone off the rails, if you will, of late, believing that this was not based on the God of creation, but just sort of randomly all came together, a preposterous idea that's being refuted and debunked daily. because as we search more, and now we're looking into cells, and of course these people in the medieval times had no clue of what a cell was, but now we know that a cell is literally a miniature factory, so complicated that we're having, you know, our challenge today is to actually discover how a cell, which we cannot even see, it's so microscopically small, operates, and we're learning to deal with things like viruses and COVID by what goes on inside a cell, all engineered by the God of creation. And this is so inspiring to we Christians, because as science develops new things that we can hardly understand, the axiom, the truth, that the universe is an orderly creation brought about by a creator, our God in heaven, that, and we can rely upon him because he is faithful, he is true, and he never changes. So hallelujah, what a great inspiration this is.
That's true, that's true. We're talking with Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine, and Michael, we're running up against it here. Tell folks how they can access this issue and all the issues of Christian History Magazine.
Yes, so christianhistorymagazine.org. Go online, take a look at the website. This issue is on the site. You can read the entire issue along with all the rest of them. Enjoy the great world of Christian history upon which all of our history is based, and at no cost. Folks can also subscribe at no cost. Plenty of opportunities to donate, because that's the only way to get a subscription. But you can ignore those opportunities if finance is an issue, and get yourself a subscription so you can receive this wonderful magazine in the mail.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate your visits.
Thanks for having me, Tommy and Jeff.